is Within You, the Ananda Europe podcast. Welcome to this episode of My AY, sharing the autobiography of a yogi. My name's Parvati, and in this episode we're joined by Sanjaya. Hello, Sanjaya.
Hello, Parvati. It's wonderful to be with you again on this podcast.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you. And Sanjaya's already been with us on one episode, which you may already have heard, where he talked about cosmic chants. So if you haven't heard that one already, I strongly recommend you check it out because that is one of his areas of expertise. And today he's come to talk to us about another of his strong passions on the path as a devotee, a specific chapter in the autobiography of a yogi dedicated to Lahiri Mahashaya and the rebirth of Kriya Yoga. So we'll get into that shortly. But before we do, Sanjaya, could you just tell us how did the autobiography of a yogi find you? How did it make its way into your life?
Yes, it's a good question. And I like the way you asked it because in most of our lives, the lives of the community here at Ananda, it's the actual autobiography that found us, I think, rather than that we found it. Yes, with me it was a little strange because I was in Greece, I was following a spiritual path, and I asked the people on that spiritual path, I was at the beginning of the path, what books they could recommend to me that I might read that might be useful to me. And the autobiography was one of the books that they recommended to me, even though that path had nothing to do with the teachings of Yogananda, but it was a book which was very much respected on that path, as was Yogananda and his teachings. So I actually read the autobiography first in Greek, because, as you know, it's been translated into many, many languages, including Greek. And that was about, 30, 35 years ago. And then it was only when I came to Ananda about 8 or 9 years ago that I reread it in the original English.
Wow, and that's amazing. And what was there a difference in the experience then?
Oh, I think so, definitely, yes, because having been a translator, a professional translator all my life, I can say with certainty that there are certain books that do lose in translation simply because you can't reproduce the sounds and the nuances of the original language, and a lot of the vibrations that come to us through the autobiography that have been consciously put there by Yogananda come through his amazing use of English, which is an English which is, it's not the English of an Indian who's trying to write correct English. It's not even the English of, 100 years ago. It's his particular idiom, which carries with it a great power through the vibrations of the particular words and vocabulary that he uses.
Yeah, in fact, and what's truly amazing is on the way over to America was when Yogananda also had his kind of initiation into English almost, isn't it? And that's recounted in the book, right?
Yes.
He didn't have the confidence almost, but then he had this massive grace that arrived that propelled him to be able to speak.
Yes, I think it was definitely divine grace that was enabling him to use English in such an effective way.
Yeah, and that's a part of what we feel in the book itself.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so we'll look a little bit more closely then at this chapter that you've picked out. So it's chapter number 35 for anybody who's listening. Yeah. The Christ-like life of Lahiri Mahashaya. So out of all the chapters that you could choose from, why have you gone for this one?
Well, I remind you of the last podcast that we did on the cosmic chants, and you asked me what my favorite chant was. and I said to you then that I like all the chants, but it depends really on my particular state of mind at the time, because each chant offers something different. And it's a bit like that with the chapters in the autobiography. I could have picked several chapters, but I picked this one because I think it's one of the most important in the sense that it explains the story of how Kriya Yoga, which, if you like, is the central theme of the autobiography, re-emerged in the modern age through Lahiri Mahashaya.
Yeah, in fact, so that's exactly where we're going to go with this then. We really want to hear from you what this chapter, because it's a very dense chapter, isn't it, as they all are. There's a lot in there. But let's hand over to you a little bit then. So if you can help us unpick this, bearing in mind that for some people, they may have read it 50 times and some people may be yet to read it.
Yeah.
So just to give us a context immediately, could you just tell us who Lahiri Mahashaya is and Kriya Yoga?
I have to go back a little bit to the previous chapter, to the chapter I want to talk about, because the two really have to be taken together in order to understand chapter 35, the Christ-like life of Lahiri, because chapter 34 explains how Lahiri himself received initiation into Kriya Yoga. It explains how at the age of 33, and we're talking about the middle of the 19th century, I think the year was 1861, he was working as a government accountant in a military engineering department, and he suddenly found himself transferred to Raniket, which is in the Himalayas. So it wasn't a very prestigious promotion, as it were. And he found himself with free time, so he went walking off in the hills in the Himalayas, and he suddenly heard a voice calling him and found himself facing a young man who we later find out is Babaji Krishna, the eternal yogi who remains eternally young and lives permanently in the Himalayas, who is a Christ-like figure in India. And Babaji enables Lahiri to remember his past life as a disciple of Babaji. And well, to cut a long story short, because I want to talk about chapter 35 and not chapter 34, but Babaji initiates Lahiri into the practices of Kriya Yoga. And Lahiri spends, I think it's 7 days in Samadhi, in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, in that state of union, oneness with the divine. And of course, when he comes round, he wants to stay with his guru, as anyone would, after having been in Samadhi for 7 days. But no, Babaji tells him, no, your mission in this life is, as Christ said, not to be of the world, but to be in the world. And his mission was to mingle in the world of men and women, and to give an example as an ideal yogi householder, someone who was married, because Lahiri was already married with a family. He had business responsibilities. And according to Babaji, his role in this lifetime was to impart Kriya Yoga to all sincere spiritual seekers.
Yeah, because up until that time, there was a distinct separation, right, between people who had dedicated themselves to the renunciation, to the renunciate path,
yeah,
and people who were householders and couldn't do that. And they didn't have the same access to the teachings and to be initiated.
That's exactly right. And Babaji actually says to Lahiri to bestow the key of Kriya only on qualified disciples. In other words, people who have vowed to sacrifice everything in the quest for the divine. And then we get that very important paragraph in chapter 34, where Lahiri says, well, Babaji, won't you release the strict requirements? Won't you relax the strict requirements a little bit for discipleship? and allow me to communicate kriya to all seekers, even if they can't vow to be, even if they can't vow themselves to complete inner renunciation. And Babaji says, well, be it so, the divine has spoken from you. And it's such an important paragraph, that it's such an important aspect of the preceding chapter, because it opens the path for everybody, no matter what work you're doing, no matter what your material situation is, no matter what religion you belong to, no matter what your responsibilities are. Anyone can practice Kriya Yoga, thanks to the fact that Lahiri asked Babaji to relax the restrictions on giving it.
In fact, and it's such a beautiful moment as well, also in the sense not only of this great compassion of Lahiri, we often talk about that when we talk about him, know how he was so compassionate for everybody. Yeah. He wanted everybody to have this opportunity.
Yeah.
But also the sweetness with which he asked, and also the way Babaji, who is a Maha Avatar, also was completely open with the, you know, the open heart, and accepted that as being from the, you know, he knew it was from the divine. So even there is a beautiful, almost a surprise in a way. It's a pivotal moment, you know, where you really see perhaps this beautiful interrelation between guru and disciple, and how it's really a dynamic that works together.
Yeah,
is that
yeah,
fair to say?
Exactly as you say, and it's a pivotal moment. You used exactly the right word, because it explains then how in chapter 35, Lahiri gave Kriya initiation to anyone who sincerely came to seek it from him.
In fact, and you have been to Benares, right, Varanasi. You've been there a couple of times.
Yeah, I should say that, of course, miraculously, Lahiri, after receiving Kriya, was transferred back to his previous post, where his wife and children were, in Benares, which in ancient times was called Kashi, and today, of course, is called Varanasi. And I was privileged, yes, to go twice on the Ananda pilgrimage in the footsteps of the masters, to visit the places where our Kriya masters lived and worked. And one of those places was Varanasi, was Benares. And we stood outside Lahiri's house, because it's only open to the public on one day every year, on the day of Guru Purnima. So we couldn't go inside, but just standing there and gazing at the doorway, you could, well, first of all, it was easy to feel the vibrations of the place, but you could just imagine how many people had passed through that doorway, which was not just a doorway to Lahiri's house, but it was a doorway to Kriya Yoga in the modern age. You know, I think about it and I get goosebumps, just thinking about it.
In fact, it is incredibly special, and it's hard actually to put it. It's hard to put it into words, isn't it? Really,
it is.
But if you can, you know, I like to put you on the spot in these podcasts. So I'm just going to ask you two things here. Can you convey, or can you try to convey, what the vibration was there, Lahiri Mahashaya? For you, he's known as, Yogananda describes him as the yoga avatar, the avatar of yoga, of union.
That's right. Yes.
Could you try and describe to us, because every master has his own vibration, right, that you can tune into, that you can feel. So I'd really love to hear from you your experience with Lahiri. Indeed, if you make connection with Lahiri regularly, if you pray to him, or in what circumstances that might be, what your relationship is with him.
Yeah.
And also, just coming back to this chapter, because it does reference that he had, you know, he gave Kriya freely, had many people come into the house, especially when he went into pension, when he finished his work, he was there and people were coming regularly. Can you give us more of an understanding, or just a context really of how that might have been, and what was really happening there in that moment? What is this this precious opportunity that people had, and in turn that we've had, to receive and live Kriya Yoga. What does it mean for you, and by extension for us as devotees?
Wow, yes. Thank you for that question, Pat.
I thank you in advance for your answer.
Well, maybe I could start from what Babaji said, that even a little bit of the practice of Kriya Yoga will save you from dire fears and colossal sufferings. It's a famous quote from the autobiography, because Kriya helps us to overcome karma from past lives and to make rapid strides forward on the spiritual path. If I remember correctly, Yogananda said that one Kriya done properly equals 1 year of striving on the spiritual path. Isn't that correct? Something like that, anyway.
Yeah.
We're all trying to get free from this world of suffering and achieve liberation, or moksha, as it's called in Sanatan Dharma in Sanskrit. And Kriya is a key to doing that. And like Lahiri did, it's a key that can be used by anyone in any position, in any social position, in any religion, from any background. You can practice it whether you're Christian, Muslim, Hindu, dualist, non-dualist, whatever caste you belong to in India. And that's why Lahiri actually gave it to anybody and everybody who came sincerely to ask for it. You just had to convince him that you were a sincere devotee.
Which he could see easily, couldn't he? I mean, you could try and convince him. And in fact, there's a story which I'd love for you to talk about a little bit later on with the postman.
Oh, yes, the famous the postman, yeah.
Yeah.
As to his particular vibration, I have to say that pilgrimage has helped me a great deal become closer to the masters, because when you actually go to the places where they lived and meditated, you can feel their vibration. I don't know, I would find it difficult to specify what the particular vibration of Lahiri is. I mean, you can say, for example, perhaps because we have more contact with Yogananda, that the vibration you get from Yogananda is love and joy. And from Christ, I would say it was love and compassion. With Lahiri, there's certainly compassion there too. There's some kind of humor. I don't know, in the only photo we have of him, there's a kind of a wonderful smile, a smile of acceptance and receptivity and wanting to help people. And that's what I could feel, because, you know, he has his house, which you can't go into except one day a year. But there's also his ashram, which is not far away, on the same street. And there, too, there was this wonderful vibration that of welcoming that, you know, I've received this gift from Babaji and I want to transmit it to you. Mm. I felt completely at ease in his vibration. There was no awe. It was a person who was, and perhaps this was his role as a householder, as a father and husband, and as a worker, because he went on working for 25 years after his own initiation. And maybe it's that hope that he gives, that if you're sincere in your searching, that you too can achieve that union with God, that samadhi, that oneness that Lahiri achieved. I think that's the best answer I can give you, as you put me on the spot, without thinking more about it.
Thank you. You did a great job. That was wonderful. So if you could then, can you tell us a little bit the can you share with us that little story about the postman? Because
Yes.
it's a wonderful, and that also is that little bit, it's told through Yogananda, but there's that sense of humor as well there, isn't there? Just this sincerity, this acceptance as well, is also, for me at least, I felt that, let's
Yeah.
hear the story and then we can talk about it perhaps.
Yeah, the thing was that Lahiri tried in some way to systematize kriya, and he divided it, if I'm not mistaken, into four stages, four progressive stages. And he gave the first kriya to his disciples, of course, and there were disciples who thought they were ready to receive, the second stage of kriya. And I think one disciple was feeling a little hard done to, and the devotee said to Lahiri that he thought he wasn't being valued enough and that he was ready for second kriya. And at that moment, the door opened and in walked the local postman, the local Benares postman. His name was Brinda Bhagat. And Lahiri said to him, "Brinda, come and sit here with me." And he smiled at him and he said, tell me, Brinda, are you ready for the second technique of Kriya?" And the little postman folded his hands in supplication, almost in alarm. "No more initiations, please. How can I assimilate any higher teachings?" he says. "I've come today to ask your blessings because the first kriya has filled me," he says, "with such intoxication that I can't even deliver my letters anymore." And so it was a lesson really for the other disciples who were with Lahiri that, if you succeed even in doing first kriya well, you can arrive at the goal, which is divine union, union with the divine.
Yeah, beautiful, thank you. And that in itself, the way that Lahiri Ji gave that teaching to that disciple is beautiful, no, because he could have reprimanded him, he could have said directly,
Yeah.
but he didn't. He allowed, and I believe it says in the chapter that the devotee to whom the lesson was kind of dedicated, he understood, he responded in, and he realized his mistake. So
Yeah.
yeah, beautiful. Again, it's that compassion of Lahiri Ji that he understands human nature very much, and
Yeah, and as you said, rightly said, teaching in not a way which reprimands the disciple, but giving a living example, allowing the disciple to see for himself or herself where his mistake is.
yeah, in fact, beautiful. And just that just occurred to me there, Sanjaya, given that you your other area of expertise is chanting,
Yeah.
do any chants come to mind that are very much connected to Lahiri that you'd like maybe to just touch on, or you could share some inspiration at this point?
The only one that comes to mind is the chant which Yogananda, the music was written by Yogananda, the words are by Adi Shankaracharya, "No birth, no death, no caste have I." I think it's written in either the autobiography or probably in the Book of Cosmic Chants that this was a favorite chant of Lahiri. And I can well understand it if it was, because he was a person who, as I said, I think previously, was willing to give kriya to all people, whether they were Hindus, Muslims, Christians, or whatever caste they came from. He himself was from the higher caste, the Brahmin caste, but he did everything he could to give equal importance to every person, no matter what class they came from, to actually dissolve the rigid class bigotry that existed in his time. And he was one of these great avatars, one of these great spiritual teachers who gave new hope to outcasts, to the downtrodden, as Christ too, you know, mixed with sinners and prostitutes.
Yeah, in fact, and also I've just seen there as well, you know, because on our line, on the line of gurus of this path, there's Christ, there's Babaji, and then in the middle there, there's Lahiri. It's almost like a bridge. And then we have Sri Yukteswar and then Yogananda, who is very much the hope, the ray of hope for this new, moving into the new age. So,
exactly.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you, Sanjay. It's been absolutely fantastic, this episode. Really appreciate you sharing. Is there anything that you'd like to, final words you'd like to share with us before we close?
I'd just like to continue what you just said about hope, if I may, because Lahiri was that incarnation of yoga, a yogavatar, and through his teachings, he didn't write anything like all great teachers, but fortunately for us, his disciples recorded all his discourses and his commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita and other important spiritual scriptures. And in that way, he elevated the spiritual level of society. And he initiated thousands and thousands into Kriya Yoga. Let's not forget that Swami Sri Yukteswar was his disciple, and also Yogananda's parents were disciples of Lahiri, which is very important for our line of gurus. And the hope that I wanted to emphasize is that through his practical method of teaching and giving Kriya, he opened up a new door of yoga freedom for all people, even for simple people. And as Yogananda says, I think, at the end of that chapter, he gave new hope for new men, something we need very much today in the world. And I could ask, he gave new hope, I could add rather, he gave new hope for a new world, which is what we're all looking forward to in this present day and in our present circumstances.
Indeed we are. Jai Guru. Thank you. I said grazie then in Italian. I was so absorbed. I lost my language. Thank you, Sanjaya. That's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, really is. Can't wait for the next one. We'll get you on again. Super. Thank you. Okay, and thank you to everybody for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this episode with Sanjaya G. This has been my AY, sharing the autobiography of a yogi. For the Ananda Europe podcast, joy is within you. Take care and we'll see you next time.